Hello, this is Paul Newman, pastor of Whitley Bay Baptist Church. Sunday, the 29th of March, was to have been our Tear Fund Sunday, a day we celebrate each year as we remember the work of Tear Fund around the world. Just on Friday, I received an email from Tear Fund, which said this: "In these challenging and uncertain times, Tear Fund is doing all it can to continue serving people in poverty. This is a reminder of what remains constant amid the coronavirus crisis. Our vision stays the same: to see people freed from poverty, living transformed lives, and reaching their God-given potential. We won't stop until poverty stops. Our faith says the same. Faith is what motivates us to tackle poverty and injustice, and what drives us on to do better. We pray as we make decisions, and for one another as well as the communities we work with. All our work is rooted in the life and teachings of Jesus. Our God stays the same. It's written in the Bible, 'Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.' Psalm 90, verse 2. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Our hope stays the same. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13. So the email closes: please continue to join with us in praying, giving, and speaking up for those living in poverty. That's why, in this podcast, we will be focusing our attention on the work of Tear Fund. Let us pray. God of justice and truth, Lord of mercy and grace, Creator of life and wonder, Almighty and all-loving Father, we come before you in reverence and praise. Thankful for your relentless love, grateful for the blessings you have given, and hopeful in your promises. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we offer ourselves to you. Amen. When Jesus came to the synagogue at Nazareth, he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." "Today," he said, "this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Christ came to the world in order to fulfil God's promise of restoration and rescue. We live secure in that promise today, yet fail to live up to his sacrifice. So let us confess our sins to him, and let his redemptive light shine through our souls. Each time I say, "Cleanse and restore us," you might wish to repeat, "Cleanse and restore us." Lord of love, you entered our broken world to deliver us from darkness, yet often we live as though you haven't saved us. In your mercy, cleanse and restore us. Cleanse and restore us. Lord of light, you hate poverty and injustice. Yet we have ignored the cries of the hungry and oppressed. In your mercy, cleanse and restore us. Cleanse and restore us. Lord of creation, you have given us a world of beauty and wonder with enough resources for all. Yet we have not been wise stewards of it. In your mercy, cleanse and restore us. Cleanse and restore us. Lord of truth, your greatest command is to love. Yet we allow anger, pride, and greed to govern our words and actions. In your mercy, cleanse and restore us. Cleanse and restore us. You raise the dead to life in the spirit. You bind up the brokenhearted. You bring peace to the torn and divided. You give justice to the orphan and widow. May your word be a lantern to our feet and a light to our path. May your loving mercy come to us, O Lord, and may you restore us to the joy of your salvation. Amen. Our Bible reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 to 12. Isaiah 58, 6 to 12. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Amen. Mark tells us how there was an occasion when a religious scholar came to Jesus. The Jewish religious scholars of Jesus' day were experts in the law set out in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and also in the Talmud, the case law that had grown up around the law of Moses over the centuries. In the Torah alone, there were 613 individual laws. So this Jewish scholar came and asked, which is the most important of them? The answer is found in Mark 12, 29 to 31, and here I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Jesus answered the scholar, "The most important of all the commandments is this, the Lord Yahweh, our God, is one. You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is this, you must love your neighbour in the same way you love yourself. You will never find a greater commandment than these." Now, we need to remember that this is not new teaching from Jesus. This is ancient teaching from Moses and central to all God's law. But here is Jesus, the Son of God, stating very clearly that this is the irreducible minimum. Get this right, and you get obedience to God right. In that passage I read from Isaiah the prophet earlier, he was dealing with a not dissimilar issue in his day, though 700 years before Jesus. The religious people of Isaiah's day were asking why it was that when they prayed and fasted to get close to God, it just didn't work. They stopped eating, put away their more comfortable clothes to wear ones made out of sackcloth, and made themselves miserable in the process. But God is still standing off at a distance, withholding himself, and they wonder why. They're frustrated. They're angry with God. And this is apparently expressed to Isaiah as the Lord's representative. He brings a response from God himself. We heard it in the reading, and in verses 10 and 11 he says it very clearly. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. I am sure that many of us are praying more than we have ever prayed, and taking more care of our families, neighbours and fellow Christians than we ever have. We're finding ways of supporting and encouraging one another, even in this new social distancing reality. However, on this Sunday, when normally we would have been remembering and supporting the work of Tear Fund in our morning service, enjoying a very simple lunch together, and taking the opportunity to give generously to the work of this great Christian relief agency, it is right that we make ourselves aware of something very important. Let me state it as clearly as I can. Beyond the virus, the poor are still with us, and their needs have not gone away. For them, the coronavirus is just one more problem they have to bear. It still remains the case that this very day, approximately 29,000 children will lose their lives to preventable diseases. That is well over 9 million a year. It still remains the case that this very day, approximately 29,000 children will lose their lives from preventable causes, including disease. That's well over 9 million children a year. It still remains the case today that 300 million people in our world are facing flooding due to the loss of coral reefs and mangrove forests. Rainforests that are the lungs of the earth, keeping our air high in oxygen and free from CO2, continue to be cleared and burned at an alarming rate. Tear Fund, has been on the front line of bringing Christian compassion and care to people in a variety of crisis situations, including earthquakes, tsunamis, famines, conflict, and diseases such as Ebola. Their general way of working is through the local church, because it works. Churches know the needs of their communities and how best to respond with the resources available to them. Tearfund says, in times of crisis, the church is always the first to arrive and the last to leave. The experience of Tearfund in so many situations around the world means, I think, that they have earned the right to speak to local church partners around the world, including us, as we respond to the coronavirus outbreak. Gideon Hirth, in his webpage, Coronavirus, the Church Has Left the Building, writes about five key principles from Tearfund. He says, these include promoting the right messages to prevent its spread, correcting any lies and misinformation about the disease, caring and looking out for our congregations, having an answer for tough theological questions about why the coronavirus has happened, and praying for an end to the outbreak. Gideon continues, the church, in all its various guises and denominations, is the largest civil organization on the planet. In every community affected by coronavirus in the UK, there will be a Christian presence, whether they're meeting together on a Sunday or not. Who better to make a difference in this time of need? We are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. So let us continue to dig deep and support those who are working on our behalf in some of the most needy places on the planet, who, in that need, now have to cope with the virus too. When God's people live like this, he promises, then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here. So, let's pray. Father God, we pray for your creation, for a world that is groaning beneath the weight of exploitation and greed and sickness. We pray that governments, corporations, and we ourselves will do more to safeguard your world. Lord, send your restoring love. Father God, we pray for people living in poverty. We know that poverty is detestable to you. Please spread your redemptive justice upon the earth. Help us, all of us, to do more to help those less fortunate than ourselves, and challenge the systems that keep people locked in poverty. Especially we pray for those who are particularly vulnerable to the coronavirus because of that poverty. And we pray particularly for the safety of the Rohingya people who are living in the world's largest refugee camp at Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh. Cases of the virus have already been reported there, where there was already a need to support people with clean water, safe sanitation, and trauma counselling. We pray for them and all those who are seeking to work with them and for them. Lord, send your restoring love. Father God, we pray for our relationship with you. both as a church and as individuals. Help us to live lives that please you, to walk in your ways even as the world pulls us in different directions, and to shine your light and love upon our families, neighbours and communities. Lord, send your restoring love. Father God, at this time of crisis we pray for our national leaders and for all those, whoever they are, who have contracted the virus. Especially we pray for the National Health Service, preparing for the crisis that is upon them already. We pray for the nurses and doctors in our own fellowship who are on this particular front line just now, including Esther, Mary, Rachel, Ambrina, John, Helen, Lewis, and Alex. Protect them from all harm and give them your peace and love. Lord, send your restoring love. Lord, help us to go into the world as carriers of Christ's peace, to be brave in the face of storms, cling tightly to goodness and love, forgive as you forgive, be a shoulder to cry on, defend the weak, help the afflicted, comfort the grieving, respect everyone, love and serve you in all things, rejoicing at all times, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us all to say, when we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with us on our journey of faith. Revive us when we grow weary. Direct us when we go astray. Inspire us when we lose heart. And reprove us when we turn back. Keep us travelling ever onwards, a pilgrim people, looking to Jesus Christ, who has run the race before us, and who waits to welcome us home. Amen.